All right, so Patriots created a little space between themselves and the other teams in the AFC East this week.
And also in their own secondary by staying away from receivers yet again.
It's a rim shot.
No, it was a struggle defensively yet again. You know, we talk about it every week, and I almost feel like Belichick is like us. And I mentioned this to you during the week on the radio. They kept showing him on cutaways, and, you know, there'd be a 10-yard play and a 10-yard play and then a third down play. And it's just like the frustration is boiling over. Like, you know, it's almost like he's helpless on the sideline to change it. And this week, it added to it by the run game being a problem.
Well, look, I agree, okay? There's no defense, and there's no defense. But I do give some – I think this is the first time that the Bills have been completely healthy, except for some guys in the offensive line, with their skill position players. And I think going into this season, I thought that they would contend a little bit more in the AFC East. And I think they would have had they had Fred Jackson all year and everybody healthy. They've got some playmakers on that offense. Now, should they be getting 500 yards? No, absolutely not. But let's give some credit to C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson and Stevie Johnson and Scott Chandler and even Fitzpatrick, you know?
Well, I think they do have some players, and I think they have some talent. I think you're grossly overestimating said talent. The week before in Houston, they scored 9 points. They were healthy then, too.
And he also included Fitzpatrick, and the team's GM wants to replace him.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm getting at. Listen, I think the two running backs, Fred, I think you're dead on. Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller, I think, are good players. And I was surprised by the 160-plus yards allowed rushing, but I thought, to give those two guys credit, I thought they made a lot of yards. I thought they, you know, especially Spiller, I thought, got to the edges and made some guys look silly. Mm-hmm. And that's what a guy like that does. He averages over 7 yards a carry, and oh, by the way, he had over 7 yards a carry against the Patriots. So Belichick talked about that at the end of the game. They do this to a lot of teams. I don't think they do to a lot of teams what they did to the Patriots on Sunday. I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration.
And the Patriots had twice 14-point leads. So it's not even like the game didn't play out the way they'd like it to. They want to take 17-3 leads. That's the plan. And then it's supposed to grow into a 45-7 type win like you had against the Rams. This didn't happen. They came back. And then they came back again. And oh, by the way, they were knocking on the door to come back again when your guy, Fitzpatrick, the elite playmaker, threw the ball right to Devin McCourty.
Well, what I was most disappointed with on defense was not the Fitzpatrick gaining yards, which we, you know, most quarterbacks are doing, but it's the run game and the missed tackles, which we haven't seen a lot of this you know, season. They've been so stout up front, but they were letting guys get around them on the edge. They weren't really...
But again,
you know,
I mean, he's been doing that. C.J. Spiller is an elite top 10
talent. Fred Jackson
was
doing it up the middle, too. So, you know...
I think that was less of a problem. I think the real problem was C.J. Spiller.
Yeah.
That was the problem. They getting to the edges, making people look silly at times. He made Spikes fall down and look silly. Made Mayo fall down and look silly. But that's what he does. And I think over the years, this is kind of the running game that's given them more problems. The smaller, quicker guy has given them more problems than the... bigger, more powerful guy. They generally shut those guys down, and they met a guy they just weren't ready for.
All right, so on the other side of the ball, Patriots, you know, get out to a quick lead, 24 points in the first half. That's what we kind of expected against this Bills team. But then you get to the second half, what happens? I mean, in that fourth quarter, you know, what did they have, 6 points or something like that? You know, so, you know, what happens in those situations once again where, you know, they could close out the game, but they just weren't able to do it in the fashion that we expect them to be able to do it?
I think it was a little deceiving. I mean, I think you're right in terms of the number of points. I mean, it's hard to argue that they scored more than they actually did, but I thought that they continued to move the ball effectively in the second half. I thought they had the 1-3-and-out that comes after the fumble inside your one-yard line. They had a play there on second down that Wes Welker's going to catch 99 times out of 100. And unfortunately, it was the one that he lost his footing on the play.
You always have to.
he finds something, even with a 37-point game, he finds something to pick at. I just look at it, you know, yes, they didn't score in that drive, and that allowed Buffalo to sort of catch up. And then the last drive, when they want to close it out, that's a pretty effective drive they put together. They get to the 2-yard line, and unfortunately, they didn't finish it off. They lose 2 yards on first down when they were trying to hurry, and then they get a false start penalty, and ultimately, they couldn't get it in. But they have a hard time attacking. There's a difference between what they were doing.
Why does that happen late? I mean, that's part of the whole not finishing.
But don't you feel like going 60 yards and having to settle for a field goal at the end of the game with 2 minutes left is a little different than going 3-and-out in the middle of the field?
Yeah, sure.
But they've had their various failings to quote-unquote close that we've talked about all year have come in different ways, and this is a new way where you mention it. They hurry up to the line to rush a play. They're on the 2. Seems like they want to catch the defense out. It didn't work. You lose yards. And then it kind of snowballed from there to the point where Brady makes a throw into the ground. It slips. Well, it doesn't usually slip for Tom Brady. He usually hits the guy. Why does that always seem to happen when the game is on the line now? And maybe I'm just being, you know, reactionary and saying, you know, lumping them all together. But it seems like the trend is if something bad's going to happen, it happens late rather than middle.
Well, but one of the positives this year, and we saw this game, even though it wasn't a forced turnover, is making a turnover at the end when they need it most. That Arizona game, for example, I know they lost the game, but the reason why they were in position to win it was because of a forced turnover.
Yeah, absolutely. And they have come up with a lot of big plays at the end of games. I just would like to see them get out of the situation where they have to come up with a turnover like that. And I know a lot of them were talking about Vince Wilfork. He gets in the huddle and he's looking around and says, someone's got to make a play. Someone's got to make a play. And listen, that is good defense when you're able to find a way at the end of the game. But at the same time, sometimes you just like to see them, you know, a good old-fashioned four and out with no real drama. And, you know, you talked about the Arizona one and, you know, it seems like they've been in positions a lot where if they don't come up with a turnover, they're not coming up with a stop. So I just like to see them say, you know, bat down a fourth down pass and walk off the field, or come up with a pressure on fourth down and walk off the field that way. Like they did against, you know, the Jets game. If that's a fourth down play, you're looking at it a lot differently as opposed to forcing a turnover in the second down. But you're right, Fred. They've made a lot of big plays.
And it's not like they change. They struggle to stop people throughout the game.
Absolutely.
So it's unfair for you to say, well, now they're going to be a stout defense. They're going to get a four and out right here and the game's over.
No.
So
I'm just
that's
saying it'd
why
be nice
I get back
to
the offense failing to close the game. Because if they score a touchdown there when they run that hurry-up play, it's a two-score game. The game feels different now. Maybe they're more aggressive on defense. Maybe they do close it out.
41's enough.
Maybe.
Last week, I talked about how the Patriots could use the bye week to get a little bit healthier and how I hoped that would be the case, but unfortunately, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. First of all, Aaron Hernandez wasn't able to go again for the second straight game. And even worse, it looks like Logan Mankins has added an ankle injury to what has already been an injury-filled season. I think with Mankins in particular, this is really shaping up as a lost year. He has the hip and calf problem coming off the knee, and now he's got an ankle on top of all of that. It just looks like one of those seasons, and I think it might be time to really pull the plug on him, just let him rest and get healthy for next year. One of the best elements of the Patriots offense this season has been their ability to use tempo to their advantage. They were able to go fast, they slow it down, and they're able to be very productive with this. But I think they need to strike a balance, because I thought late in the game against Buffalo, I thought Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels may have outfoxed themselves a little bit. They had an opportunity to put the game away. All they had to do was get the ball into the end zone from the 2-yard line on the last drive, and they weren't able to do it. And I think part of the reason is because they got a little bit too fancy. They went to the line, they went hurry up, they weren't quite ready. It was a tough situation. Stephen Ridley wasn't able to get in. He loses 2 yards, then you get a penalty. And I think you're trying to milk clock there, and I don't think it was the most important thing to try to trick him. Sometimes it's just about execution. Now, one of the rookies on defense that I've been really high on all season has been Dont'a Hightower. I think this guy presents a lot of matchup problems for an offense. He does a lot of different things well, but Sunday wasn't one of those games. And I wonder, even though he's missed some time with a hamstring problem, I'm wondering if the rookies maybe are starting to feel a little of the effects of that rookie wall, maybe playing a lot of football, because Hightower wasn't anywhere near as active as he has been. He didn't get any opportunities to rush the passer, and he had a lot of trouble tracking down Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller. So with these rookies in particular, Hightower on Sunday, something to keep an eye on.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Ryan Fitzpatrick said, you were a punk. I was just wondering what your reaction to that was.
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
Images of the Week, we got some great ones this week. And by the way, the best of our photographers are up on Patriots.com every week. This one is Fitzpatrick getting absolutely leveled by Vince Wilfork. Here's yet another great catch by Rob Gronkowski. Finally, Chandler Jones goes parallel to the ground going after Fitzpatrick.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
Joining me now, Patriots inside linebacker Brandon Spikes, coming off a big win against Buffalo. I know fans were a little worried at the end there, but what was your mentality in that game? A win is a win, or were you a little frustrated?
I'm my biggest critic. You know, I always want to, you know, if I get the opportunity, I want to just seize the moment. And I got my hand on the ball, and I didn't get the catch, so I was just beating myself up. But after that, I was just, you know, contemplating on making a play, you know, whatever I can do to help the team out and get that play back.
As we've come to expect from you, you were laying the lumber out there. Obviously, we know your style is physical. You had a big hit on Fred Jackson. After that, I think you kind of got a little criticism from the Bills, and Ryan Fitzpatrick said you were a punk. I was just wondering what your reaction to that was.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm paid to do. I'm a linebacker, but, you know, I never had intent to try to hurt anybody, and, you know, I'm a, you know, physical player. I can say with that comment, hey, it is what it is. You don't got to like me. You know, as long as my guys on the field, you know, the guys I go to war with love me, and that's all I care about. I leave it all out on the field, and I play relentless, and, you know, I'm a linebacker. That's, you know, like I said, that's what I'm paid to do. So, hey, it is what it is. Though, like I said, my hat's off to those guys that played to the wire, and, you know, we came out with a W, so I'm not complaining. And I'm past that, so I'm moving on to the coach.
Now I need to ask you, I know media members are supposed to stay unbiased, but I think you have the best post-play celebration in football, where you sort of put that little spike down and then drive it home. How long you been doing that? Where'd that come from?
I've been doing that for a while, but, I had some things in mind, but I figured that it's just, you know, it's a spike. It's a spike, put the nail in the coffin and finish them, so it's definitely a good celebration. I love it. I thought about it one night. I was in the bed, and I was like, yeah, I think I'll go with that.
So. And for a guy like you, who's physical, old school, Dick Butkus was sort of your idol, that kind of says it all, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, relentless, vicious, and, oh, man, I can just keep going. But, you know, I'm not trying to make any enemies out there. I'm just, like I said, I'm doing what I'm paid to do, and I love the game, and obviously you can tell, and having a great time, having fun with my teammates. And it's just fun. I'm just thankful to be out there and be able to, you know, play that way.
As we all know, this week it's Patriots Colt, but it is not Brady Manning. It's the second coming of Peyton Manning. That's Andrew Luck, number one overall pick. Unfortunately, if you look real close, right now the numbers don't match the hype for the Colts quarterback. Less than 60% of his passes are being completed, rating under 80, bottom of the league in fourth quarter passing, bottom of the league in third down passing, top five in pass attempts. They are going to sling it. But when they sling it, there'll be an opportunity for the Patriots to make some plays because Luck is not afraid to force the ball. So DBs, take your chances. We're all familiar with the Colts story right now. It's a redemption story, a 6-3 football team that picked number one overall last year. Their head coach, Chuck Pagano, is an emotional story, dealing with cancer, and the team has rallied behind that situation. But quite frankly, the Colts are more about emotion than substance at this point. Not good in the red zone on either offense or defense. They've only scored 30 points once. They've given up more points than they've scored all season long. -9 turnover ratio, near the bottom of the league. They don't really do anything at a dominant level. And for that reason, even though they're a 6-3 football team, same as the Patriots, this is a chance for the Patriots to assert themselves and get a dominant victory. I have a little change philosophy for me. I've been saying all year, establish the run. Get the running game early and often. And you can do that against the Colts. You can run against them. They are still an undersized defense, even though they've switched to the 3-4. But I've changed my tune. I want to see spread offenses. I want to see throwing the ball. I want to turn the clock back to 2007, when even Tom Brady admitted they were trying to kill people and outscore them. This Patriots team, with the defense as bad as it is and still trying to come together and stop people, they need to come in with the mindset they're trying to score 50 points each and every week. Put the foot on the throat of the opposition from the very first play. That's Brady, that's passing, that's scoring.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
You know, we're sick of our nice constant wife. We're going to get that hot blonde who's 30-something.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
So I guess Brian Urlacher has something going on with the Chicago Bears fans. In the Bears' last game against the Texans, Jay Cutler threw an interception. Coming off the field, Urlacher, who's a former teammate of Daniel Manning and the guy who intercepted the ball, gave him a little bit of a high five. Well, the fans didn't like that. They don't want to see Cutler throwing interceptions, and they don't want to see Urlacher congratulating the guy that picked it off. I can kind of see both sides, you know. I like the fact that, you know, he's showing some sportsmanship and some decorum. We need to see more of that in the game today. But, you know, congratulating the guy in the heat of the moment, if I was a fan, I'd kind of be upset too. And judging from Urlacher's response, he told the fans to kiss his butt. I think he was being a little defensive. I think deep in his heart, he knew he shouldn't have done that either.
It was another weekend filled with injuries in the NFL. Four quarterbacks go down, all starters, all important players in three of those teams were playoff teams potentially. San Francisco, Pittsburgh, and Chicago all felt pretty good about their chances last week heading into their games. And then all of a sudden, Roethlisberger, Cutler, and Alex Smith go down, and things look quite different. We like to be reactionary here, and I'm as guilty as anybody at that. I like to go week to week and make my evaluations, but really, it's all going to come down to, as it does every year, not only which team is playing the best, but which team is feeling the best come playoff time.
It's bye week in Seattle, and apparently that means vacation. Because while most NFL head coaches give their players the required 4 days off in a row, like Bill Belichick did with his team during the bye, Pete Carroll, that old players coach him, Seahawks, I'll see you next week. Just take the whole week off. Refresh. I know you're a young football team and you're on the brink of maybe making the playoffs and being a championship competitor, but take a week away. Do whatever you want. We'll be back in a week and we'll be fine. Pete Carroll, this is why you're Pete Carroll. This is why you'll never win in the NFL. And this is why the players will always love you.
Trash Talk. Brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Andrew Luck is coming to town. Quick hypothetical. Tom Brady for Andrew Luck?
For the Patriots, about winning Super Bowls now, Tom Brady gives this team the best chance to win the Super Bowl right now. The future is a long ways away. And let's be honest, as much as there's this great hype about Andrew Luck, he's not the better quarterback right now. He just isn't. He completes less than 60% of his passes, 80 rating, all the numbers, 10 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, blah, blah, blah. He may be great in 3 years. He may be great in 5 years. Tom Brady's great now. Patriots want to win now, not in 5 years.
Well, listen, I agree that he's not as good as Tom Brady right now, but I think he gives you the opportunity to be great for a long time. And I would do this trade in a New York minute. I think this guy is special. I think he has shown that already. He's got a terrible football team around him. He's 6-3. Lighting the world on fire statistically? Absolutely not. But I'm watching this guy. I watched him play last Thursday night, admittedly against a bad team. And I see some things that this kid does as a rookie that are just different than what the average quarterback does. Andy, I think if you have an opportunity to make that bridge the way Indianapolis did, you have to take it.
But you don't know what's going to be Andrew Luck in 3 years.
If you're asking me if I'm going to trade careers,
so you're giving
for Tom
up the
Brady
now,
or Andrew Luck, I'll take Tom
Brady.
You're
Brady's. Giving up the now for
I don't
the future.
Think Andrew Luck
you're giving up the
is
now.
A lock.
Because you're not going to win the Super Bowl this year with Andrew Luck.
Absolutely.
So you're giving
up
the now.
I'm giving
with
up
Tom
this
Brady,
year for a chance to win
so we just
five
sneeze
Super
at Super Bowl chances. We just sneeze at them. They
a
come
chance.
Along every
That's
year.
One chance, you're saying now.
You have a chance to win it this year.
Yeah, well, I
you
don't
had
think
a chance
Andrew,
last
I don't
year.
Think Andrew Luck on the Patriots would eliminate your chances of winning the Super
oh,
Bowl
I do.
This year.
I
would
do.
Would you have a better chance with Tom Brady?
Yes. And I
absolutely.
Think with Andrew Luck, it's eliminated.
I think they have a better chance with Tom Brady this year to win a Super Bowl. You extrapolated from that by saying they'd have no chance with Andrew Luck. I disagree with that. Well, those two things aren't the same. So you could win this year, and you'll have a chance to win
maybe,
for the next 15.
Maybe, but you know
Andrew
what
Luck.
Brady is going to be
you
every
You make
year
this
he
trade
plays.
Every day.
I think it's a terrible trade. You're giving up, and you're telling your fans, we're not trying to win now. Don't worry about it. We might win down the road. Oh, Belichick might retire. Who knows what it'll be. We might win down the road, so let's go get Andrew Luck, the next big thing. Let's trade it in. You know, we're sick of our nice, constant wife. We're going to get that hot blonde who's 30-something. Good call there.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama.
All right, question time here in PFW. But first, as we do every week, the Wilson Hart Power Index. Patriots back in the mix. Did they move up?
They didn't. They actually dropped Fred, and they were actually catapulted over by the Broncos and Ravens, who obviously had more impressive wins. Patriots struggling to get the job done. Interesting up top, though. We obviously had the number one and number two team battling last week. Bears fall to the Texans. Bears drop down a couple spots to the four slot. Texans take over the number one slot yet again. Falcons 2, Niners 3, despite tying with the Rams. As I said, the Patriots moved down one spot, now tied at number 8 with the Steelers, another team that struggled to beat a bad football team. Continue to have consistency, though, at the bottom. Scott Pioli's Chiefs, well behind everybody else, 32nd ranked.
It actually makes a little sense this week. All right, let's get to your
questions.
Thanks,
I appreciate that.
These are the ones that you sent to askpfw@patriots.com. We'll start with Clarence, who wonders, why is there no sign from the defense improving from last year, although we drafted and assigned a plethora of players? I noticed that ever since Richard Seymour left the defense, they haven't been able to get better.
I think that might be one of those circumstantial truths, you know, for lack of a better term. Yes, since Seymour left, the defense has gotten worse, but I don't necessarily think it's because Seymour's not there anymore. In other words, I don't think they're lacking for another defensive tackle maybe to take up some space there. I think Kyle Love has done a nice job. I think they have a little bit of a different scheme than they had when Richard was here in his heyday, but the fact of the matter is the defense has progressively gotten worse, and really, I have to agree with Clarence, it hasn't gotten any better this year. I think personnel-wise, they're coming. I think that what you have to hope for is some of the young guys, and I know that people that listen to us, this is the second group of young guys that I've talked about this, but Jones, Hightower, Wilson, Denner, these guys, hopefully another year or so, we're looking at these guys as much better players and a much better defense.
All right, Zach writes in, he says, you'll notice a trend here. It's all about defense. Why is it that we seem to play so many soft zone coverages? Seem like it's always going to be hard to generate a pass rush that will actually worry opposing quarterbacks when we're only rushing 3 or 4 guys.
Well, first of all, I think they rush 4 guys most of the time. I know this has been a big fixation this week. They rush 3 guys late, maybe, and that allowed the Bills to come back. And I know people want to call them soft zones. The reason they're soft zones is because the coverage is nowhere near the receiver. They're not intentionally, I don't think, always playing soft zones. I think at the end of a game, yes, they probably softened up a little bit and said, we can't give up that one big play.
Over.
We've been there.
Right.
We've done that.
Right.
We don't want to give up the 50-yard touchdown pass. We want to make them work for it. And guess what? It worked. Because if you were more aggressive, you know, hey, if you had run a safety blitz and Devin McCourty had blitzed, you know what would have happened? You would have lost to the Buffalo Bills because Devin McCourty wouldn't have been there to make the play when Fitzpatrick threw right to him. The bottom line is the pass defense isn't good enough because the personnel right now isn't playing well enough, and all the scheme can be damned until they play better.
Right. All right. Send your questions to askpfw@patriots.com.